Good morning to you. It's good to be here. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm sorry that Brother Dax is not doing well, not feeling well, but I appreciate having the opportunity. Just before coming, I had contact with Mike Bedford. You all know Mike and Francis Bedford, and they're special friends of ours. It goes way, way back. Let me just go back and introduce myself a little bit. Brenda and I served as international missionaries with the IMB in Japan for about 27 years and then 10 years in South Asia. And during that time, if I remember correctly, we had an opportunity to come and share with you all at least once while Mike and Francis were here.
Yes.
We came home on our first furlough in 1979. And when we did, we'd been away from Mobile a long time, and so when we did, I prayed that God would give me some special friends, lifetime friends, and actually, I had just met Mike and some other men. Pastor Fred Wolf from Cottage Hill Baptist had, right before we came home on furlough, had come to Tokyo for a beginning of an exchange with our Japanese church, and so Mike was a part of that. And Mike, as the answer to one of those prayers, I did tell Mike that next time I'm going to pray a little more specifically because he's an Alabama fan. But he's been a lifetime friend, and he sends his regards and told me to not tell anything bad about him. But over the years, we've had many opportunities to work together, and to be able to come and share with you again today is just a special blessing. As we begin this morning, if you would, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. We'll look at verses 8 through 11. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. I don't know what your custom is, but if you don't mind, if you would stand in honor of God's word as I read. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today and for your holy word. Lord, as we have an opportunity to open your word, we pray that just by way of introduction, we retired back in about 2009, and since then we've had opportunities to serve in different capacities, and right now I'm serving as the Director for International Ministries for the Mobile Baptist Association. Part of that involves the seafarer ministry. We have a ministry in the port. You know that the Port of Mobile is the 12th largest port in the nation. And we have about somewhere between 1,600 and 1,800 ships that come and go from our port every year. And so we've asked God to give us volunteer port chaplains for every day of the week. I'm continuing to pray. Right at this point, I need about 3 more chaplains. I know you're not in the Mobile Baptist Association, but God, if God should lead you our way, I'll be glad to work with you to help you get the credentials that you need to help train you and get you started, and you can become one of our chaplains that goes out every day that we possibly can. Part of what we do, of course, is visit the ships. We have an opportunity to meet the different seafarers, talk to them. We offer them an opportunity for prayer, for Bible study. We have international Bibles that we share with them. We have opportunity to provide transportation for them if they want to go shopping. Many of the men have been on ship for 9, 10, 11, 12 months, and because of COVID, recently they have not been able to get a shore pass to leave. or even if they had a short pass, their company wouldn't allow them to leave. So this provides a special opportunity for contact with them. One quick story, and then we'll get into the more important things that we have to look at, and that's God's Word. But, of course, seafarers that come into our port are from nations around the world. Probably the number one people group that we meet are the Filipinos. Filipinos make up about somewhere between 65 and 70% of all seafarers. And then after that, probably Indians, Chinese, Russians, Ukrainians, and then a varied sundry of others. The different ships, you know, the length of the ship is a lot of it is determined by the culture of the men that work on the ship. Some of them are mixed crews, some of them are just one nationality or another. But probably the Chinese are the hardest to break through, and that comes from the fact that their country, of course, they're vetted by their country if they're even on a ship. But when they come, a lot of times they're very close. One time I had an opportunity to go to visit the ships over at the coal terminal at McDuffie Island. And when I drove up there, I could see the men up on the at the top of the gangway there. And so I looked up and waved at them, and they were covered in hazmat mat suits with goggles and, of course, a mask. This was during the midst of the COVID. And so they started putting their hands like this. This in Asia means no. You're not going to be able to come up. And so I told them, but I said, I have something to give to you. And I had some Chinese Bibles I wanted to give to them and some other material. And I finally convinced one of them to come down the gangway that I was able to give it to him. Well, I decided that the next day I would approach things a little differently. He wouldn't. I gave him some materials, but he wouldn't take the Bibles. So I bought some big packages of chocolates. And so the next day I came back with the Bibles and the chocolates, and I had that in a bag. And so they began to do this again. And so I pulled out a bag of chocolates and showed it to them. And just like that, they were down at the bottom. I was able to share the Bibles with them. But opportunities that God gives to us. And he gives us those opportunities not for us or necessarily through us, but because God loves us to the extent that he wants to love us, wants to love others through us, and he gives us those opportunities. Whenever we think and look at our relationship with Christ, and as you understand salvation is something that has a beginning point, but it's a continuing process, and then it continues on forever. So whenever we're saved in Christ, we're justified. That is salvation past for us. Any of you who have opened your heart and received Christ as your personal Savior have been marked and sealed as His. And the process, we call that justification, but the process of sanctification begins then as we begin to grow in Christ, because Christ marks us and indwells us through His Holy Spirit. And as He indwells us through His Holy Spirit, we grow in Him, and as we grow in Him, He works in and through us to reach others, to reach out to others, to share with others, to help them come to know the power of Jesus Christ just as we have. But then that process we call sanctification, but then we have eternal life. And eternal life is given to us at this point, but it's ours eternally. But then we experience it in His presence, and we call that glorification. The reality is of resurrection power. God coming in to live in us, and His power working in and through us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Just a few minutes ago, you used 1 Corinthians 15:57. I love that. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus, Another one, though, that is a Bible verse that you can mark and just use every single day is 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
That applies to every one of us. Amen. If you know Christ, then you are a new creation.
Amen.
A A lot of places in the world where we've been able to travel and teach. We were in Japan for about 27 years. We lived in Myanmar, Burma for about 5 years. We traveled and taught throughout South Asia, India, Pakistan, Nepal, Sri Lanka, all that part of the world for about a five-year period of time. Anywhere we went, when we would meet other Christians there. But sometimes, just as you do here, you meet people that identify themselves as Christians who have not been changed from the inside out. They call themselves Christians maybe because they are the member of a church, or they've been baptized, or they are good people. They participate in everything that goes on. They volunteer for everything that goes on. All these good things, and good things are not bad. Good things are good things, but good things don't save us.
That's right.
A lot of times we try to make religion the thing that saves us, and religion will not save us. Are you a Christian? A lot of times I would ask that question. The answers I would get is, I'm a member of so-and-so church. Are you a Christian? Yes, I was baptized at such and such time and place. My response to that is, that was not my question. My question is, do you know Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus?
Amen.
If you belong to Jesus, these other things are going to happen. If you belong to Jesus, life has changed, and everything about your life is going to change with you.
Amen.
Those things don't get you there, but whenever you're in Jesus, those things will follow. I know whenever we look at the world, we see the world, and the world is divided up between those that sometimes call themselves Christians. Makes up probably the largest percentage of those. I think the percentage for Christianity around the world is somewhere around 31%. The Islamic faith is about 24%. And then it used to be Hinduism and Buddhism. And they follow, but you know what the next largest group is? Secularism. And as we look at what's going on in the United States today, we're seeing the influences of secularism, where people are following themselves, and God, their God, has become themselves and their ability, whatever they think, whatever they believe, whatever they think is right, becomes their guide for life. But religion, doing these good things, is not the goal. It's not what gets us there. What makes us different is Christ in us. Knowing Christ in a personal, life-changing, living, dynamic relationship. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all." Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved." John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's what changes us. Christ in us. Not from what we've done, but through his shed blood on the cross, what he has done for us. He has washed our sins away. He has changed us, and he comes in to live in us. Resurrection power, the power that changes our lives from the inside out. The power that makes us different. Power, God's power in our life, is because he not only paid the price for our sins, but he rose again. I know in many places in the world, and of course even here, a lot of times we see people decoratively wear a crucifix, a cross. Sometimes, and basically, I think our Catholic friends tend to wear a cross with Christ, with a representation of Christ on the cross. In other countries, we'll see representations of that. But you know, the cross that most of us use is one that is empty, and it's empty for a purpose, and that's because Jesus has risen from the grave. He's alive today. And that's where the emphasis needs to be, but it's not that he's alive and going away into heaven, but he has marked us as his, and he has given us his Holy Spirit to indwell in us, and that's what makes us his, is Christ in us. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. In him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The word sealed there is somewhat like we would use the word in Japan. You have, whenever you go to sign a document, you don't use your signature. You have what the Chinese would call a chop, what in Japan would call a han, that has your symbol on it, and you can affix that symbol to any document, and through that seal, then you have made a contract that has become yours. Now, you can give that seal to somebody else and they can use it. But the point here is that God has made his mark on us. He put his mark on us. His mark on us is his Holy Spirit, who comes in to not just mark us as his, but he actually gives us his Holy Spirit to indwell us as his guarantee that we belong to him.
Hey.
It's God's Holy Spirit that brings the salvation of Christ into our life. And as he indwells us, then we have resurrection power. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and his power is real in us because God's Holy Spirit is alive in us. He marks us as his, and then he gives us himself. He indwells us. He transforms us. And again, that brings us back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Christ is changing us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with the unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image for one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You are no longer controlled by sin. We are indwelt by God, and we become then his hands, his feet, his ears, his eyes. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, not because of our righteousness, but because of his righteousness. Amen. In us. If the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. You hear what he said? We have been marked as his. We have been made his. We have been given his Holy Spirit to indwell us. We've been given his power. We've been given his presence. But it's not just something that's been given to us that lays dormant, that has no power, has no meaning. He becomes that dynamic movement in our life that changes us day by day. Hey. That doesn't mean that we're not going to fail. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fall. But it means that he is always present and he's always working, and he's going to work us through those times, through those things, in order to bring us out so that we're stronger, so that we're more like him because of his resurrection power in us. Prepare for action in this world. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of this world. Resurrection power is the power for life. We go back to the scripture, the text for today. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Not just knowing about, but knowing because he's here, because he's working. That dynamic power is working in me. So that's what I know, and that's what I'm able to, how I'm able to relate with him, because he's with me and he's working in me. Faith, then, my faith depends on the fact that I know him and the power of his resurrection. His resurrection power in me is that dynamic movement of God in me that works to change me every day, works to grow me closer to him, works to grow me up in him, works to make me useful to him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God has reconciled us. He's given us his power. He's changed us. He changed us once, and that is once for all, but it's not something that lays dormant. It's something that is dynamic and it's growing. That's the sanctification process. And then there's going to be that day and time when we'll step into his presence. But the reality is that even now, before we get to that point, we have the guarantee of life eternal with him. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's always, always, always with us, regardless of what we do or what we don't do. He doesn't leave us. He is the power in us. Ezekiel 36:23-27 says, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." He gives us the ability to serve and follow him. He gives us the ability to do what he wants to do in our lives. He gives us the ability to do what he wants to do through our lives. Part of that is reconciliation, being ambassadors for Christ. I noticed, by the way, in your bulletin, you still have GAs. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, a lot of churches have done away with GAs and RAs. But this particular verse that we're ambassadors for Christ, I learned way back when I was in the RAs. But over the years, it's been the GAs and the WMU that have been so faithful to serve and help us provide for our needs as missionaries. And we thank you for that. But 2 Corinthians 5, again, 17 through 21, begins with one, the verse that we've used over and over today. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." But it goes from there. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." Message of reconciliation. Telling others about Jesus. Not just telling others about Jesus, but living for Jesus.
Amen.
Whenever we see new people in Japan, and you know, whenever you meet somebody in Japan, you meet someone here, and you can almost make the assumption that one out of every two people consider themselves to be Christians in Japan. It would be about one, maybe two in every 100. But whenever you meet people in Japan, you have an opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ, to share Christ with them, to let them see Christ that perhaps they have never seen before. We have the opportunity to give them the message of reconciliation, of saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that there is no other way to Him but through Christ. But we do this not just by what we have to say, but what we do. And oftentimes I use the example of a railroad track. It's got two rails on it. Both those rails, if they're going in the right direction, if they're together, then a train can go across those rails. But if one of them is awry, then the train's going to get off course. Telling people about Jesus, living Jesus, telling people about Jesus. These two rails have to be in line. They have to go together to get the train to where it's going to go. God in us is doing that. He's not only changed us, but He gives us the power, the humility, then to walk and to live, to become His ambassadors. Verse 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, be brought back to God, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's a powerful word there. So that we might become the righteousness of God. Not through what we do, but through what He has done. Amen. And through what He does in us. We are not to be afraid or timid. That verse that you can take and use is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We become joint heirs with Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation already to be revealed in this last time. Salvation that has begun. Salvation that's continued. Salvation that will continue for the rest of eternity. Amen. Salvation that you have experienced. Salvation that is available to others. For us to be reconcilers of the gospel. For us to carry the message of reconciliation. For us to talk it, but to live it. Also, the Creator and God of this universe lives in you, if you know Him as your personal Savior and Lord. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Resurrection power, salvation. Resurrection power, life-changing catalyst. Resurrection power, your power for life today, tomorrow, and for the rest of the time that you have on earth, and then for you to spend eternity with Him. What more could we ask for? The question then becomes, do you know Him personally? Have you asked Him to come into your life, to cleanse you, to save you, and to indwell you, to live in you? If you haven't, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to start. For many of us, for most of us here, I would say that probably we've already done that individually. So the next question is, who is on the throne of your life? Is the resurrection power of Jesus dynamically working in and through you today? If not, you have placed a block, could be unconfessed sin, it could be something that we're doing. We've taken our eyes off of Jesus, and we put our eyes either on ourselves or on other things. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, this is the time and place to take your eyes off of self and these other things and put it back on Jesus. What is your need today?